You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and for the rest of the hour, a little bit about Hurricane Katrina. As New Orleans gets pumped out, engineers and scientists are surveying the damage and trying to reconstruct just what happened. What were the conditions that Katrina brought that caused the levees to fail? What role did the ever-evolving Mississippi Delta play in the catastrophe? Would things have been different if more of the wetlands on the Louisiana coastline had been preserved? How should New Orleans be rebuilt? And with sea levels sure to rise due to global warming, how will other coastal cities prepare for the flooding that is sure to follow? Hard questions with a lot of people thinking about them. And one of them who is doing that is Mike Tidwell. He's an environmental writer and activist and the author of Bayou Farewell, The Rich Life and Tragic Death of Louisiana's Cajun Coast. He joins us by phone. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You wrote in your book, which came out in paperback last year, that the land on the coast of New Orleans is disappearing at a rate of 50 acres a day. That's amazing.
That's right, 50 acres a day, even without hurricanes. There's so many statistics that are so appalling that come out from the land loss calamity in South Louisiana. A football field every 30 minutes turns to water. An area the size of Manhattan turns to water every 10 months. It's the fastest disappearing landmass on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, we keep hearing about how we're going to need to fix the levees and make them the city more waterproof. What else has to be done?
Well, we certainly have to fix the levees. Without the levees, we would have to abandon New Orleans completely and much of the coast. But I think the important point to begin a discussion about what went wrong is simply to answer the question of why New Orleans is below sea level to begin with. In all the recent coverage, the media seemed to have uncritically accepted this really weird fact that the city of New Orleans is below sea level. But why in the world is it below sea level to begin with? Miami's not below sea level. New York's not below sea level. And the answer is the levees, those huge earthen river dikes that have kept the city dry and inhabitable for 300 years have also created this giant bathtub that we now see full of water on TV. And that's because in every great river delta in the world, every great delta is shaped by two very unforgiving geological phenomena. And the first involves flooding, and I think that's the one most people are familiar with. The annual repeated overflow of the sediment-rich Mississippi River water is what created Louisiana's whole ragged sole of the Louisiana boot by depositing these waterborne sediments and nutrients flowing down from two-thirds of America over the last 7,000 years. But the second major deltaic feature is something called subsidence or sinking. It's just a fancy geological term for sinking. Those same deposits of alluvial soil are extremely fine and unstable, and over time they compact, they shrink in volume, and they sink. But historically along the Louisiana coast, new flooding and new deposits of sediments counterbalance the sinking and in fact led to net land building. But by putting these huge levees on the Mississippi River and channeling all that sediment-rich water right out into the deep water of the Gulf, we're just left with the subsidence. And that's why New Orleans is below sea level. And that's why so much of the coast has imploded and disappeared, especially in the last 100 years. And we basically created a watery landing strip for Katrina to slam into the city like a airplane flying into the World Trade Center. I mean, that's how we got this scale of calamity.
Hey, well, if we were to rebuild New Orleans, could we do it in a way that would incorporate the natural flooding of the rivers and the deposition of the silt again?
Well, it's a great question, and the answer is yes. It's a resounding yes. The governor of Louisiana, Kathleen Blanco, has said from the start that we can't just rebuild the city of New Orleans. We have to literally re-engineer the coast. And the good news is that there's a plan to do it. There's a detailed restoration scheme that's been on the table since the 1990s that would re-engineer this coast. The plan is to build up to a dozen dam-like control structures right into the levees of the Mississippi. And these would then release the sediment-thick water into canals and pipelines that would surgically direct this quote-unquote liquid soil toward the barrier islands and out to the buffering marshlands that need immediate restoration.
Mm-hmm. And how many years would that take?
Well, it depends on how you do it. The more originally the idea was to build these man-made rivers and canals that the water would flow out fairly slowly out into these coastal areas. But in the last few years, engineers have become increasingly certain that they can engineer these giant pipelines that would suck the particularly sediment-thick water off the bottom of the river and pump it directly out into the areas that need it the most. And I heard an engineer just the other day said that he could build a barrier island in a year that way. Mm-hmm. So we can do it. We can do it. It's going to take some time, but it's also going to take money. It's going to take about $14 billion, which used to seem like a lot of money.
Right.
But after Katrina hit, it sounds like nothing. It's basically the cost of the big dig in Boston or, you know, a month of military spending in Iraq. You could rebuild most of coastal Louisiana.
Would the barrier islands have afforded that much protection from Katrina?
Absolutely. When the French first settled in that great crescent of the Mississippi River that later became known as New Orleans, when they first settled there 300 years ago, there was between that point that became New Orleans and the Gulf of Mexico vast, dense hardwood forests. And after those forests, heading closer to the Gulf, there were vast freshwater marshes and swamps. And after those marshes, there were endless saltwater marshes. And then after those, there was a formidable network of broad and tall barrier islands. All of what I've just described is gone now. There are no forests between New Orleans and the Gulf. There are no freshwater marshes. There are just remnants of saltwater marshes, and there are just basically sand shoals, remnants of what used to be barrier islands. That is why Katrina hit with such force. If Katrina had landed 300, 200, even 50 years ago, you would not have seen the same damage. What we need to do is basically build and rebuild some speed bumps between the Gulf and the city of New Orleans, and we can do it. It's just the commitment. I mean, a lot of money is about to be spent right now, and I think a lot of it's going to be spent wisely, and some of it may be spent unwisely, but what we have to make sure is that we don't fix a single broken window or pick up a single piece of debris unless we simultaneously commit to this coastal plan to repair the coast.
Would that include the coast of Mississippi also, like where Biloxi got wiped out? Is something different going on there?
That's something different going on there. You know, you could just look at the coast of Mississippi and Alabama and say, you know what, gosh darn it, maybe it just doesn't make a lot of sense to build houses on a beach line in the middle of a hurricane alley. But when you look at New Orleans has never been beachfront property. It has been a low-lying city surrounded by buffering marshes and insulated and protected by barrier islands. And it has made sense to live there. It has made sense to develop there. But as we've destroyed the wetlands through these levees, it increasingly is impossible to live there, as Katrina made clear.
Mm-hmm. So it would almost seem like until you've quote unquote fixed New Orleans, and possibly in the way that you're suggesting, how could you tell people to go back and live there in the danger zone?
Well,
if this has happened once, we know it's going to happen again.
It could happen a week from now. That's a great question. And, you know, we've gotten lucky in the last few years. I mean, Katrina could have happened 5 years ago as well, or even 10 years ago. And the situation is still extremely ripe for another hurricane like Katrina to hit. I think it's safe to say, though, it's unlikely that one of that caliber moving in that direction is going to come again anytime soon, but anything can happen.
Mm.
What we have to do in the meantime is immediately rebuild those levees, which unfortunately the city of New Orleans and the state and the Army Corps and the federal government all deserve blame for not having those levees high enough. We've got to rebuild the levees. We've got to make sure that even if a Category 4 strikes again, that we don't have overtopping from Pontchartrain. And we can do that very quickly. And in the meantime, we've got to rebuild the barrier islands and the wetlands, but you mentioned earlier the issue of global warming, which is another wild card that we absolutely have to address.
Yeah, which would mean that other coastal cities are in trouble also.
Yes. For me, you know, I and a handful of other journalists and elected officials and activists have been saying for years that Katrina is coming, Katrina is coming. We basically predicted that this would happen. Nothing that's happened in the last 10 days was unpredicted.
Mm-hmm.
There have been no surprises, none, including the refugees and the stranded poor in New Orleans. All this was predicted. And now I and a number of other observers are now saying with equal certainty that Katrina is coming to every coastal city in America unless we take seriously new warning signs, and those involve the issue of global climate change. You know, Katrina hit with so much force because there was no land, virtually no land between it and the Gulf, and that's because the whole land platform of South Louisiana sank between 2 and 3 feet in the last 100 years because of the subsidence we talked about earlier. Now, the Bush administration's own data from its own agencies and its own reports say that because of global climate change, in this century, we will see between 1 and 3 feet of sea level rise worldwide. Now, whether the land sinks 3 feet per century, as in New Orleans, or sea level rises three feet per century, as in the rest of the world, you have the same problem. If you want to see what Shanghai, Gdansk, Poland, Bombay, India, New York City are all going to be obsessively dealing with 50, 7,500 years from now, turn on your television and look at New Orleans, because that same sea level rise from global warming will wipe out barrier islands, destroy buffering wetlands, and cause all kinds of problems to cities that are designed and built along these coasts.
So now we have a period to prepare for that before that might happen.
Well, we do. I mean, we've got to fix, you know, we got to deal with the humanitarian crisis in Louisiana. We got to rebuild the levees in New Orleans. We got to restore the buffering lands along the Louisiana coast, and we also need to begin a national conversation about how we can make different energy choices. San Diego doesn't need a seawall right now to protect it from a storm surge. San Diego right now needs hydrogen fuel cell cars. You know, Miami doesn't need a levee system like New Orleans right now. It needs wind-powered electricity. And again, all of this comes from the Bush administration's own documents. And there are some movements toward trying to address Katrina on that sort of global warming level. In fact, there's a group called www.katrinanomore.org that is increasingly making that argument.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking with Mike Tidwell. He's author of Bayou Farewell, The Rich Life and Tragic Death of Louisiana's Cajun Coast, on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Let's go to the phones. Jonathan in St. Croix. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Ira. How are you?
Fine.
Good. I just find it's quite ironic that we have environmentalists on talking about rebuilding levees when, if you do any Google search on levee opposition, you will get countless articles about environmental groups opposing levees, specifically in New Orleans. And I find it's very, very ironic.
Mike?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, essentially, Katrina, it's inaccurate to call Katrina a natural disaster in terms of the impacts on Louisiana. Human intervention along that coast basically created the landing strip for Katrina to land on New Orleans. And so your point is well taken. We have interfered and intervened in the environment in South Louisiana. You know, this gets back to the law of unintended consequences. When the French first started throwing up levees 300 years ago to protect them from the Mississippi River, they did it for perfectly rational reasons. They didn't want their children to drown. They didn't want their crops inundated. They didn't want their property destroyed. At the same time, they had no intention of causing the barrier islands and the wetlands and the whole coast to implode, but it happened. Now we have New Orleans where it is now. We have 2 million people who live along the Louisiana coast now. We can't simply rip down the levees and let the river go wild. It's not going to happen. In the world as we live in it, it's not going to happen. So how can we do the next best thing? And that is, how can we try to live sustainably with the river? How can we mimic the natural flooding of the river and to get those sediment-rich waters into the coastal areas, especially in the spring when the river is really swollen from rainfall across two-thirds of America. When the river has a lot of surplus of water, and which is the time of year it historically flooded, we can get a lot of that water out into these coastal areas without disrupting navigation processes. So we've got to figure out a tricky way to live sustainably, to let the river do as much as it did naturally, but guided by human beings. The only other option is just rip down the levees, and no one's going to accept that.
Why don't we call the Dutch in on this?
Well, you
they
know,
have a very
a
successful
of us,
way of doing this up there in, you know, in the Netherlands.
It's not, though. You know, a lot of people look at Holland and say, well, they've got it going on. They've reclaimed the sea, and they built these seawalls, and they've mastered the natural forces of this coastal area. And the reality is that is just as great an environmental calamity and a social infrastructure waiting to implode, just like Louisiana, because the land in Holland is sinking just as rapidly as in New Orleans because they've done the same thing. They've levied their major rivers along their coast, and there is no land building going on. And even though they're behind those seawalls, it's not a sustainable way to go forward in the future. Sooner or later, sea level rise and subsidence of that land will make that whole living arrangement in Holland unsustainable. Believe me.
I thought that they opened the gates up to allow the silt to come through. Is that not true?
They keep the water out. Well, I mean, all that farmland that's below sea level, that is land that is kept dry. Mm-hmm. That it's kept dry. You know, approximately 20 or 25% of Holland is below sea level. They're not letting water into that, and it continues to subside. And the continuing subsidence puts extra pressure on the seawalls, and the seawalls themselves are subsiding. So it's just not something that you can count on 100 years from now.
The report that you cited, is that the 2050 report?
Yes. You can go to a website, www.crcl.org, which stands for Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana. So that's www.crcl.org, and you can read about this study.
And it will actually restore the wetlands and bring back the missing barrier islands?
Absolutely. There's no one who questions whether this scheme will work. I mean, there's no one who says if you get the water of the Mississippi River flowing back toward the barrier islands and into the wetland areas that it won't create land. It will. There are actually two experimental diversions, river diversions, already in place. One of them, south of New Orleans, is called Carnarvon. It's been in place since the early 90s, and it's created thousands of acres of land just since the early 90s. So if we do it on a large scale, yeah, it's definitely going
to
work.
All right. Mike Tidwell, thank you very much for taking time to join us.
Thank you so much.
Mike is an environmental writer and an activist, and his book is called Bayou Farewell, The Rich Life and Tragic Death of Louisiana's Cajun Coast. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, Charles Berquist, and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles is our director and web producer. Anne Marie Cunningham helped out on the phones today. If you'd like to write a surfer to our website at sciencefriday.com, Science Friday's Kids Connection is up and running. The new school season coming. We have all kinds of interesting new free curricula. Just click on the Teachers button on the left. Special stuff for the hurricane that you can use in your classrooms. Also, podcasting from there. You can download a podcast of Science Friday from our website. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.